If the sun should tumble from the sky, if the sea should suddenly run dry, if you love me, really love me, let it happen. I won't care if it seems that everything is lost. I will smile and never count the cost. If you love me, really love me, let it happen, darling. I won't care. Shall I catch a shooting star? Shall I bring it where you are? If you want me to, I will. You can send me any task. I'll do anything you ask. If you'll only love me still, when at last our life on earth is through, I will share eternity with you. If you love me, really love me, then whatever happens, I won't care. If you love me, really love me, then whatever happens,
lest too far we wander, love's sweet voices calling yonder. Shine, little glowworm, glimmer, glimmer, hey there, don't get dimmer, dimmer. Light the path below above and lead us on to love.
Tree Advisory Commission meeting. It is now 4:30, and it's the afternoon session. So we're going to have the call to order, and now Pledge of Allegiance. Okay, now we're going to do roll call.
Commissioner Haight.
Here.
Commissioner Kirby.
Here.
Vice Chair Massey.
Here.
Chair Messner.
Here.
Thank you.
Okay, public forum. At this time, the public shall have an opportunity to comment on any non-agenda item relevant to the jurisdiction of the city. Do we have any speaker slips? Your mic.
No, Chair Messner.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Then we'll move on to the next thing. Before we go to amendments and adjustments to the agenda, I see that we have Phoebe Manser in the audience, so I'd like to introduce her because she is Paula Perotti's pick for the Tree Commission. And I guess I want to introduce you to everybody here in the commission. And I guess Paula's waiting till the UFMP is done since haven't been there since the beginning. But I'd like to introduce, if you'd stand up at least, say hi. Okay.
Welcome.
Welcome. She's the now president of Goleta Valley Beautiful. Thank you. Amendments or adjustments to the agenda? So I will open that up. Anybody? Anybody have anything?
No, there are no amendments or adjustments.
Yeah, there is. The minutes from last.
Oh, they're under consent, A1.
So staff has no amendment or adjustments.
I got it.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Okay. Reading on the wrong side. A, consent calendar.
First item on the consent calendar is minutes from the March 17, 2016 meeting.
Okay, there we go. Okay, anybody have any changes, comments? You want to go?
No.
Do you have any? Barbara?
Well, the second paragraph down on page five, bottom of page five, it has some mistakes, it seems to me, under, let's see, where it says 4.15 heritage trees and a draft nominating forum was proposed language, and we replaced it, so I would have thought it would have said which replaced section 415, and then when you have the numbers, and 1.D, it should be 1 following that, because otherwise it's indicating the wrong thing.
Okay, so I've got a few. So to add on to Ms. Barbara Massey, in that bottom paragraph where it says heritage tree nomination form was proposed, language to replace should be which replaced section 415, number 1, C 1 through 5. That was that handout that we did. If you have your thing, it was on page 44 of our thing. And we replaced 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 with that the heritage tree criteria that I handed out. And then it continues to say, and 1D. It should be 1D1 because we go further down. But we never deleted that because that's the way the language here says that we deleted that, and that's not true. What we did was 1D1 is wrong. It's supposed to be 1D1, and the first paragraph of 1D1 was not deleted or replaced. We, the commission, added some extra clarifying verbiage for the heritage tree designation process in that paragraph. But the whole second paragraph after the words or was deleted. That was the second scenario variation of the tree designation process.
Right.
And that's why I remember Mr. Jeff Haight, because those were two scenarios of designation process. And you said we already have one here. Why do we have a second one? We can delete that. And then we said, okay. And that's what we did. So that's what I have there for my comments. And then we come down to Chair Messner recommended that comment AM87 be removed with regard to the witness tree with no objections. I'd like to note that this is the second time we dropped this. And this was the only, an added comment by AM. It was never at any time a part of our on-the-record PTAC public meeting discussion nor part of the UFMP. Then we'll go to the next page. Top paragraph. Kathleen Trepa, city manager, suggested that staff look at section 415, heritage trees in its entirety, and incorporate suggested changes, including a suggest a nomination and designation policy for heritage trees and how it might be implemented, which will be brought back to the commission for final review. Well, I look at is we already did that at the meeting. We changed those things out with that handout, and then we have under 1D1 a process, a nomination process, because that's where we inserted those words that if someone came in with the application of saying, this is what I want to nominate with pictures that came before us, we would look at it. If we decided that we wanted to delve deeper, we would give it over to the city attorney. The city arborist, and then he would do his research, bring it back to us, and we would talk it over some more before we hand it off to with our thoughts to council for their final review. So that's the way I look at it.
I have a question or a comment.
Sure.
Was that our suggested way forward that staff was going to look into? That's what I remember, is that what Chair Messner brought forth was something that I was comfortable with from a usability standpoint.
Okay.
But as I remember it, and I honestly can't remember because it's been 5 months.
Forever.
But what I do remember is that we didn't make a decision because it was sort of setting policy, if you will.
Okay.
And I thought that the staff was going to review what was brought forward for I don't know, agreement with city policy. I'm searching for the words, but I think you get what I'm trying to say. I think it meant the right thing, and it was trying to do the right thing. And what I remember is that staff was going to research to be sure that what it was doing was the proper way to do it.
If I might add, that's my recollection is that there was a fair amount of dialogue about the proposed changes that had been brought forth at the meeting that staff had not had an opportunity to review in advance. And there was a fair amount of dialogue, and the intent, and my recollection is that we would take that back as a proposal to review and then come back with suggested language to make sure it was consistent, that the entire commission at that point could then take action on. So the minutes were prepared to be summary only. They weren't intended to be a recitation of the entire conversation, and they really just summarized what we understood the commission's action to be and what the staff recommendation at the time was. And my recollection, and we can review the video, but my recollection is that we were bringing it back, and we've spent a fair amount of time looking at heritage tree programs, and then we will be bringing something back to the commission for you all to take formal action on.
Okay. Well, interestingly enough, I have written, as we went through this last time, I write down what remove next time and things like that, but I have here replace with Chris's version. I don't write things down like that unless that was my understanding of what happened. So that's my view on that from what I remember of the meeting.
We did talk through how the proposed changes would fit into the structure of that section and what would be replaced at that time. So we did spend some time discussing where the new language might go. So that is correct. But at the end of the meeting, the discussion in the at the time, and the decision was and our recommendation during the meeting was to take it back, evaluate it, and then bring it back for before the commission after we had had an opportunity to review it, because it was language that was brought forth that we hadn't had an opportunity to review in advance of the meeting. But having said that, we'd be happy to look at the tape to verify the action at the end of that meeting.
Okay. Well, I just realized that, you know, there's been talk of blending heritage trees and architecture, heritage architecture and other staff departments. But I just, you know, I want to note that council in 2011 adopted the UFMP, setting precedents and purview with the 415 heritage trees under PTAC supervision. So I just want that out there.
And we'll make that note in the minutes when we prepare them for this meeting.
Okay. So we'll go down to the second paragraph. The commission reviewed Appendix B, potential heritage tree sites within the city of Goleta, and agreed to remove potential from the title, correct, and to remove items that are on the list with the ongoing potential to add items to the list. I think right there it says ongoing potential. I think it should delete potential and items, so it should say with the ongoing to add council-approved trees to the list, because ultimately that's what gets on that list. Further down, where it says remove item E, contract requirements, on the, let me get it here. Bear with me, please. I got my papers everywhere. On the planting guidelines, I'm not totally clear on that, because I know when we went through it, looked at item E, Rosemary, you mentioned that you had your own contracting. You recommended to have that deleted.
Yes.
Okay. But I do recall that we never flipped the page to the next page to items 4 and 5, and so. So was that your intent, was to eliminate everything from 4, traffic control, and safety requirements, 5, work periods? This is my question, because we never really got on that. My understanding is unless a project has restrictions placed on it during planning, the city does not have our restrictions in traffic control. Could be for parkway, roadway, or special events, and I see that 4 and 5 really spell it out.
We actually... there are controls. I mean, someone can't put traffic control on the street without an encroachment permit. And there are limits to times of work in the general plan. I mean, if somebody's out there with a chainsaw at 5 in the morning, we can send the police out to stop them. So,
well, just as a little example, not to interrupt you, on the weekend, Sunday, at the Taco Bell, they were working all day long, cutting stone and doing everything all day long. Now, granted, it's more... not in a residential neighborhood, but that's when I did the inquiry, and the planning said, well, if it's not in the thing, then they can do whatever they want. So that's where I'm coming back with that.
Yeah, that's the other, Bob just said, that's on private property and included within a development agreement. If you're talking about cutting trees down,
all right,
then those limits of work in the right of way.
And we're talking city trees. So
yes.
I understand now. My apologies.
However, the ordinance still stands, and if it's before 7 a.m. or after 5 p.m., and I'm not sure what it says for Sunday, but there are hours in the ordinance for Sunday,
and
too.
And that would include inspectors, though? If someone wants to do a job on a weekend, city trees, they got to pay for an inspector?
If it's required, if they're at a stage that requires inspection, yes.
But unless it's put in a contract, otherwise?
They need to get an encroachment permit, and we would...
spell it out.
We would spell that out in that. So at the time you get your permit, your inspection fees and everything else, I mean, we lay all of that out.
Okay.
We call them conditions of the permit, and it would be on there.
It would seem like it would be a good idea, though, to have 4 and 5 remain, since it spells it out in here also.
May I clarify, are we discussing the minutes and you're concerned about what direction was provided in the minutes? Because
right.
The minutes are not a recitation of step by step.
Right.
We have not brought back this section of the UFMP and the entire document for commission approval. So what is before you right now on the agenda are the minutes. So if you have corrections to the minutes, we'd be happy to entertain any discussion with regard to the minutes. If you'd like to talk about this section of the UFMP, we'll need to do that when that's an agenda item, and we're bringing that back for discussion of that section.
All right. So my last question is the last paragraph. Kathleen Trepa, Deputy Manager, stated that staff will review Section 4.4 in light of tonight's discussion for consistency and bring it back to the commission. I honestly don't recall that.
That's what we were discussing earlier. I mentioned earlier, so we'd be happy to review the tape if you'd like.
I just
to confirm
don't recall
that.
4.4 because I know that we've already gone over that, and we've went line by line back in Chapter 4.4. So I don't see that. So. That's my comment.
We can always check the tape again on that one.
We'll check the tape. I think it was just to make sure that when we made some changes that we carried those changes consistently throughout that section. And it was nothing more, I think, to make sure it was consistent. But you'll have an opportunity to review it when we bring it back.
Is that going to be at the next meeting?
That had been our goal. So what we wanted to do was bring back heritage trees and then the final document for the commission to review.
Is there any chance we'll do this in the next century?
That would be our goal.
That would be nice.
Okay. So can I get a motion to approve the minutes?
I make a motion to approve the minutes.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Oh, wait, do we get discussion?
Discussion?
Do we want to approve them as amended? Or do we want to approve them as they were submitted?
I'd like to approve them as amended.
I'd like to verify if the recording secretary is clear on what the actual amendments were, because we've had some dialogue with regard to the conversation that took place during the last commission, and I'm not. Are you clear on what the actual amendments are to the minutes?
I am clear. We'll be reviewing the tape regarding the final paragraph, and I am clear about the concerns that they have, and I will review the tape.
So perhaps what we should do is bring the minutes back at the next meeting, because I want to make sure we understand what we're amending with regard to the minutes as opposed to the dialogue specifically that took place at the last meeting. So perhaps we should review the tape, we'll clarify, and then we'll bring the minutes for the last meeting and this meeting back to commission at the next meeting. Is that appropriate?
That's fair enough.
Okay.
So would we be suspending any movement on this approval and then just bring it back?
Yes, that's what we'll do.
Okay.
Are we all right? Mm-hmm. All right. Okay, so now we're going to go to B, presentation of B1, Cathedral Oaks Landscape Improvement Project.
Before we move on, I'd like to acknowledge that we have another member of the public in the audience. And did you wish to make a public comment? A form needs to be filled out in the breezeway and brought to our secretary.
Where's the form?
Outside the door.
Why don't you let him go ahead and speak first, and then he can fill it out?
That's fine. He can just get the form. He'll come back.
I thought this would be a good place to do it.
All rogue on this program.
If he wished to speak.
That's what the council does. I'm just going along with council policy.
Well, I don't know if you can hear me in there, but you can come on in and you can fill the form out after you speak. Yeah.
Door's closed.
Well, I know you can hear in there, so. You can comply after you speak. We'll trust you to fill it out and hand it over.
All right, thank you.
Okay.
I'd like to comply because I also have been a past secretary of credit union, so I know what you guys are going through. Anyway, my name is Walt Lang. I live at 593 Windsor Avenue. We have an issue there going on with the trees, where we have whatever, I don't know what kind of fungus or whatever it is that's infesting the trees. We have some trees at the end of the street are already dying. They may fall down, and you guys are going to be hit with some liability issue there. And I got a tree in my neighborhood right in my house that's doing the same kind of thing, and it's infested. And there's another one next door to me, to my left. So I'd like to find out, what do we plan to do about getting rid of the so-called infestation of bugs that we have in the trees on Windsor, okay?
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Is there anything more you want to hear from me or no?
Well, you still have time.
Okay. Well, I mean, I just wanted to understand what's going on, because we haven't seen any action going on with the spraying of the trees or taking care of any of infestation that's going on. You got the park that's right behind me in that neighborhood, and we got losing the redwood trees there. Yeah. So Is there any feedback or any site that I can look at to find out what I can do to help or whatever?
Mr. Chair, I don't think we can talk to him. I don't think we can answer him, but if he wants to give me a call tomorrow, I'd be glad to talk to him.
Okay, so how do I find out who all the board members are and your communications?
Well, let me give you my card, and I'd be glad to talk to you tomorrow if you want to talk about those subjects.
Okay, will do.
Okay. Thank you.
Normally, if I might, just to clarify, when usually in public forum, when you come up, it's not an item that's agendized. So to get into big discussions of a specific site, we're not supposed to do, because then other people might see that and go, hey, they're going to talk about this. I want to go. So they don't have the opportunity.
Right, thank you, sir.
We will be happy to send an arborist to look at any trees that someone has a concern about and get back to you.
Okay. Now, filling out this form, where do I leave the form?
Right over there.
With the second. When I'm finished, I'll give it to you. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for your comments.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. So now we'll go to item B, presentation of B1, Cathedral Oaks Landscape Project.
Mr. Chair, we have Senior Project Manager.
Can I introduce
you
real quick? Sure. Yeah. thank you, Mr. Chair.
I had a pen.
So we're going to give you a presentation on the Cathedral Oaks Landscaping Project. We've also, you weren't intentionally overlooked in bringing this to you. We did attach a list of your mission, sort of the duties assigned to the PTAC, and going over these types of projects, approving them isn't listed in there, which is why we didn't bring that to you. But that being said, council did request that we go ahead and we bring this to you as an informational item, and if you have questions, to answer your questions. So we're going to have Teresa Lopes, who's a senior project manager, go ahead and give you this presentation.
Question. So this is being brought as informational or as a review and approval item to us?
This is informational.
Okay,
and
so we can take
suggestions.
So we have no action?
No, you wouldn't be able to take an action of approval or not approval. That's not part of your charter, I guess you would call it. But we're happy to hear from you.
Okay.
So we're just looking at something and saying, yeah, we looked at it. I mean, I understand this is Caltrans, but I also know Caltrans used to come for DRB to us all the time and asked our opinions and made changes right then and there.
Yeah, so the way that worked is DRB was, even with DRB, the way my understanding of DRB is that we did bring capital projects to DRB to go that extra step and to bring that, but it wasn't necessarily something that was required for council approval. And so we're happy to bring this to you. We're happy to take feedback from you. It's just the PTAC doesn't actually have an approval authority on the capital projects. And this, as Therese is going to point out, there were a lot of constraints in this project. Okay, number one, this is in the coastal zone, and Coastal Commission dictated much of what is actually in here. And most of this is sort of off the street, per se, and in larger areas. So I'll let Therese go ahead and begin her presentation, and then we're happy to answer questions.
Thank you.
Good evening, members of the commission and members of the audience. So this is a presentation to give an overview of the Cathedral Oaks Landscaping Project and some project background. Caltrans had a construction project in 2011 where they reconstructed the Cathedral Oaks interchange at Highway 101. And the project included reconstructing the bridge, the overcrossing over the freeway, and also the bridge over the railroad, as well as realigning the ramps. And as part of that project, they realigned the intersections of Hollister Avenue and Cathedral Oaks Road, slightly moving it, and as well as the intersection of Kyriel and Cathedral Oaks Road. The Caltrans project included landscaping that within the state right-of-way, and as conditions of the coastal development permit for that interchange project, they were also required to plant some additional trees, native trees, within areas that fell within city right-of-way. The city of Goleta applied for a transportation enhancement grant at the time of the interchange project and received $325,000 in grant funding to enhance the landscaping, adding to what Caltrans planted in the city right-of-way areas, which were affected by the project. And this is just a overview to show the Caltrans interchange project. So the areas that we're talking about as part of the Cathedral Oaks landscaping project include two locations, one location at the intersection of Hollister Avenue and Cathedral Oaks Road, south of 101, and they're shown, the two areas are shown there in blue. So we're looking at the northwest corner and also a little bit on the northeast corner. And the second location is at the intersection of Cathedral Oaks Road and Kyriel, where we have a section here in front of the Winchester Commons development, and then also a small strip along the Caltrans right-of-way fence, so between the edge of pavement and the Caltrans right-of-way fence. And taking a closer look at, I'm going to call it location one, which is the south location, Hollister and Cathedral Oaks. So this plan shows some of the trees which were planted as part of the Caltrans project. And you can see here, this is Cathedral Oaks. This is Hollister up here. And then here's the railroad. And Caltrans planted some trees in this area, which consisted of Monterey cypress, which is shown in the green circles, a Catalina ironwood, which is shown in blue, and then also California sycamore trees, which are shown there in orange. And then here's some pictures of the location as it exists today. This is Cathedral Oaks right here. This is Hollister on this side. And this wall was built, this barrier was built as part of the interchange project, and the trees that Caltrans planted are shown in that area. And here's another picture looking Hollister looking to the east towards Cathedral Oaks. Another picture.
Can we ask questions as we're looking at this, or are you going to make your presentation and then we have questions?
I think we could allow questions during the presentation if you see a certain slide or a picture that you have questions on. And another picture, I believe that's one of the sycamores that was planted in that area. Okay. And then the other location where our project plans to enhance landscaping is at the corner here. This is Hollister Cathedral Oaks. And you can see this, again, is the Caltrans landscape plan, what was planted when they did the interchange project. And not only did they do these corners, but they were required to plant some additional trees on the south side of Hollister. And again, we're looking at the Monterey cypress shown in green, the Catalina ironwood, which is shown in blue, and the California sycamore, which is in orange. And here are some pictures of what's existing out there now. This is the corner of Cathedral Oaks and Hollister. And so we're talking about adding to the landscaping in here.
So my question, going back to that slide. Yes. Eucalyptus tree, and that's the just on the other side of those, the site of the new fire department that will be built. What will be happening to those eucalyptus trees right there?
As far as this project is concerned, those are going to remain and be protected in place. Yeah, this is a young eucalyptus right here, and that will remain.
Okay, thank you.
And here's another picture of that view behind the railing there. And this is a shot across the street in front of Sandpiper where some new trees were placed in this area as part of the Caltrans project. So now this plan shows what we are proposing to do as part of our landscape project. And here is, we're looking at Hollister, Cathedral Oaks. And what we're showing over in here is a lot of the existing trees. For example, these are some existing eucalyptus, which will be protected in place. The orange is showing the existing sycamores, which were planted by Caltrans. Again, those will remain and be protected in place. The green dots show existing Monterey cypress, which were planted by Caltrans, and those will remain and be protected in place. And then the blue is showing new trees that we are planning to install as part of our landscaping, which consist of the Catalina ironwood. And on this side over here shows that existing young eucalyptus tree, which will remain and be protected in place. Mm-hmm. And then moving over to the north side of 101 at the intersection of Cathedral Oaks and Kyrielle, we have our two areas, A in front of Winchester Commons, and then the thin strip over here. And these are just some pictures showing the existing area. This is Cathedral Oaks, and Kyrielle is over here. So we're looking at the corner towards Winchester Commons. And this is the memorial rock, which was placed after the interchange project was completed. And the local Boy Scouts went in and did some improvements there to kind of clean up. The rock was just kind of sitting in weeds, so they put some rocks around it and added some wood chips there to make it more of a feature. And that rock will remain as a feature in the new landscaping project. And here's another view. This is Kyrielle looking towards Cathedral Oaks, just kind of showing the barren area in here. One more close-up of the rock looking towards Winchester Commons.
I'd like to make a comment on this. I went to view this site today, and it looks like the people walking are using a shortcut. So right above the rock, you see a horizontal line going right to it. So they're making a shortcut, which is a very nice hard path right now going through it. I'm really concerned with this landscape project that might not be taken into any kind of consideration that might want to be, because in the end they're going to trample anything that's planted. So might be something to think about.
I should mention, I live in Winchester Commons. That path is actually where our sidewalk used to be and was ripped out, and we have had years, I think about 3 years, where we have had no water because of this project, and that's why it's like that. And it should be the responsibility, I assume, of the city to landscape it all the way through. Nobody uses that path once it's properly designed and finished, but, you know, for somebody who wants to do a shortcut, it works out great now, but the sidewalk is going to be nice if we ever get that finished. But a lot of people are not happy with the rock and red bark there. So that was dump there overnight, sort of, and a number of people are unhappy with that. So I should mention that.
So is what you're saying is that path going to be a paved path?
No, it was a paved path which was ripped out. That's just what is worn in while we were waiting for them to decide what. We had no sidewalk there. We had nothing, so people walked there because it was the only place to walk. And that should be properly tilled and incorporated into the planting. I assume that's what this includes here. And then it would disappear.
But would the public let it disappear? Since it's a shortcut.
Okay, I will point out that the red bark will be removed and there will be plantings in this area as part of the landscape project.
Thank you.
And this is another picture just showing the existing trees in that area. Here's Cathedral Oaks along here. Kyrial is down this way. And one more. This is Kyrial looking towards the east. And one more looking towards Winchester Commons, and just to show some of the more mature trees that are in that area. And those will remain. So here's the proposed plan for the landscaping along that corner, and we're planning to do landscaping within the city right-of-way only. So it will stop at the city right-of-way line. And as far as the trees which are going to be proposed in this area, the orange is showing three California sycamores. The yellow is showing three new coast live oak. And then in purple, kind of framing the memorial rock, is proposed three holly leaf cherry trees. As well as there will be ground cover and shrubs in this area.
And what's the distance back? Are we beyond 7.5 feet from the hardscape?
Yes, it's minimum 12 feet, and in most cases it's more than that.
Okay, we're talking the trees.
No. Yeah, to the trees.
And the three, what was it, the three?
The holly leaf.
Yeah, the holly cherry.
Those are approximately 10 feet from the back of the walk.
Okay.
Maybe a little bit more in
that's
these
fine.
Locations.
Yeah. That's fine.
I'd like to mention that Winchester Commons has been promised since the beginning of this in the early 2000s that there would not be additional trees added to any landscaping. In fact, as part of the original design for the overcrossing, we dealt with the landscaper for Caltrans. Then when it was taken over by Caltrans, continued to be, and no trees were added by them. Now we are proposing trees. The issue with the residents who live near there is all of us who live along Cathedral Oaks or at that corner paid extra money for our houses for the view, and they don't want the trees to block the view. And so there will be some unhappiness if trees are put in, is all I'm going to say.
I have a problem with putting coastal live oaks that close. It can grow to be a massive tree. It's too close to the sidewalk, it needs to be way back. And they have a characteristic of having their limbs hang on the ground and in their maturity. You're gonna have to water them regularly for at least 3 years to get them established at all. Otherwise they'll be dying like the rest of them in town. I think they're way too close to the sidewalk. If they were much further back, Barbara's comment about not having any trees, if you eliminated those completely and just had the sycamores up at the top part, you know, that wouldn't be blocking anybody's view because the people that are more centered are looking toward the ocean and the horizon, and that wouldn't be blocking them because the road's there. So that's my comment.
Okay.
Just a follow-up on the oaks. Are those going to be called out as multi-trunk or standards?
I can check with the
The multi-trunk is obviously going to have a problem with the limbs. The standards are going to be more upright.
And I will add that we have, the Coastal Commission has reviewed our plans, mm-hmm. and the trees which were selected by the landscape architect were to conform to the conditions of the coastal development permit, that they be native trees of native stock.
So that brings me to that question. So what is the nursery they're getting it from then for native stock? Because I see here it says genetic stock, you know, from my local nursery, local stock nursery.
Yeah, that will be determined once we award the project to a contractor, and they would submittals saying where the plants will be coming from.
Okay.
Well, if it's going to be of a native species for this area, I think it's going to be a multi-trunked, because that's what's native to this area.
Okay, and then these slides just show, it's kind of a brief overview of the different trees which were proposed. And so here's a picture of the holly leaf cherry. It's species in the rose family that's native to coastal California. And there's two recognized subspecies, one which is native to the Channel Islands. And both species are very similar in appearance and genetics. It's a good tree for encouraging wildlife and does not require pruning, but it can be pruned to keep it more as a small hedge than a larger tree. And it requires very little care beyond occasional summer irrigation, and the water requirement is low. And then here's the Catalina ironwood. It is a moderate growth tree, native to coastal California, a good street tree for coastal areas. And again, it requires moderate care, early pruning to train the shape, less pruning with age, and it requires about 3 years to become fully established. And once it is established, little to no irrigation is necessary.
What's the distance from the hardscape with that tree?
It is a minimum of 12 feet.
Oh, I see. Okay. Okay, thank you.
And then we have the California sycamore, again, a native to California, a larger tree, rapid growth rate. It does have an aggressive root system, so we want to allow 10 to 12 feet between the tree and sidewalk and curb. And it's a good tree for nesting sites for birds, including red-tailed hawk. And lastly, the coast live oak, which is also native to coastal California, and a larger tree, produces acorns, and mature trees require a little water. So project schedule, we are in... Actually, we completed final design, and the project is ready to go out to bid. We plan to go out to bid in September with anticipated bid opening in early November, construction to begin this winter, and the construction is expected to take approximately 2 to 3 months. And I will add for irrigation, I showed there was two locations, the south side of 101 and the north side of 101. We will have reclaimed water. We're connecting to the existing reclaimed water pipe along Hollister Avenue to irrigate those two areas on the south side of 101. And at this time, Goleta Water does not have reclaimed water that goes across to the north side. It is in their five-year plan, but when we met and discussed this with them, they said it was a lower priority. So initially, we plan to install an irrigation system with a cam lock, which is where a truck will come and it hooks up to this connection and forces the water through to irrigate the area. And so we plan on doing the truck watering to establish the trees and then as necessary until such time that that reclaimed water line is extended to the north side.
That truck that comes, will that be on the contractor's liability, or will this be something on the city's?
Well, it would be responsibility of the city. We have a couple options. We could go through Goleta Water District and pay them to have a truck come and do the watering, which would be reclaimed water.
Mm-hmm.
Or the city can establish a temporary water meter and use another company, you know, through us to water the trees. So that hasn't been decided yet.
I think the issue is more during the plant establishment period, the contractor has to be responsible for watering because they have to be responsible for everything.
Yeah, there's a time period, but I'm just trying to get a feel of that. Yeah, I like the idea of the reclaimed water. I have a side comment about that, that does the our city street sweepers use reclaimed water in the trucks?
I don't believe so. I'm not sure that they can.
Okay, that's all. Yeah. It jogged my mind. I didn't want to get off track here, but I just, since we're on it, throw it out there. Okay.
Since I saw that there was an irrigation plan, I didn't research these particular species of trees, but do they do well with reclaimed water? There are many trees that do not. Because of the high salt content.
The trees that Caltrans planted out there right now, they are being watered and have been watered with reclaimed water. So, yes, they do.
And are they also truck watering them?
No, Caltrans has an irrigation system installed.
But since it doesn't go over to the Cala Real side, that...
How are they? they have a small line. It's like 2 inches, which they ran across to water their areas only.
Underneath the road.
Along the freeway,
on
too.
On the bridge.
And it's not large enough for us to tap in or to handle watering additional areas. So we would be responsible for our own to get it across to the north side.
Okay.
Can I also ask, are you aware that on the south side, the southwest side of Cathedral Oaks, that area of planting, I think it's 1A, that there is very unstable soil on that slope? When it was being, just after it had been constructed, my husband was talking to the people putting the plants in, and they said they really couldn't do much more than they had because of the unstableness of the soil. So, I mean, has anybody checked that out? Has it gone past Caltrans to know that this isn't going to be a problem? Because he was showing my husband where there were the problems.
There are areas there that are problematic. We're not going to get into those. And the way that the ground would be sloped away from the erosion areas. And we do have, one of our engineers is a geologist. So, yeah, we're going to be okay.
When you've been talking about irrigation, I keep hearing trees, but there's a lot more than trees on the north side of the freeway.
Yes.
So what we were given didn't include irrigation plans, but all those plants are going to be irrigated, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, they'll all be connected. So it's almost like you put in a regular irrigation system. It's just instead of connecting it to a controller or a water meter, there's a connection where a truck just comes and hooks up, and then they force the water through the irrigation system to water the plants.
So the trees and the shrubs will be watered all at the same time through the same system?
Yes.
Okay.
And eventually, you know, that bridge does have it has a sleeve in it for reclaimed water. So we left space. So eventually that will be carried over to the other side. And at that time, those things could be hooked directly to a meter.
Well, that was the smart thing. I was just going to say put a sleeve, and you beat me to the comment.
Okay. And that's all I had for the presentation. So,
thank you very much.
I have a question. The slide that's up right now, Area B?
Yes.
There's going to be a fire station there, and right now the sidewalk ends just to the east of that site. In front of the quiet frenzy. So is this planting taking into account the fact that there will be a sidewalk there eventually, or are we going to plant this and then tear it out to put in a sidewalk when the fire station goes in?
This, you will likely see a little shifting to the south of the roadway, so the plantings shouldn't be in the way of the sidewalk.
So are we going to lose our right turn lane?
No, you will still have your right turn lane. You're not losing anything. We have a lot of extra right-of-way there. We have more roadway width than we actually need, and so we'll shift a little bit to the south.
And to follow up on that, if we go farther east on Hollister, we don't have enough, because it's a state law that to pass a bicyclist, you have to give them at least 3 feet. So to comply with the law, if there's a bicyclist where we have that island, you can't pass the bicyclist legally.
Yeah, there's that law. It's interesting. We're a little off topic, but that law is difficult. It says that when it's possible to do so. That law came out after that roadway was built, so it's there. And I don't know of any design requirements, that there anything in the design guidelines that say you design for extra 3 feet away from the bike lane of the bike path. Otherwise, you'd have to have a 13 or 14 foot wide lane adjacent to a bike path. So we don't have that. But I'm not talking about doing super narrow lanes there. I'm talking about a slight shift.
Okay, because that's my concern, because, I mean, we had a young man crash his car and die from hitting that island and flipping and going across a couple years ago. And as you know, in this area, you don't have a bicyclist. You have a group of 10, 15, 40 bicyclists, and they tend to take over and I agree I'm off topic on this, but it's near and dear to my heart, because I travel this way twice a day, at least every day, and we don't have any room to spare. And I mean, we can talk about the bike lanes going to Elwood School, which is another similar issue, but we just need to keep in mind that the council keeps approving, not this current council, but previous councils have approved many, many projects affecting the people of Elwood, yet instead of making streets wider, we're continuing to make streets narrower, and we're putting more cars on the street and taking away their ability to drive. And so I'll rope that in as my concern for shifting, to put it nicely, the lanes in this area.
I hear what you're saying. I believe the accident was a DUI. There's, you know, you get caught between two schools of thought. Should we have some wider lanes, or you get lots of folks and part of complete streets and a lot of other things that, if you have narrower lanes, you slow people down. So there's a traffic calming effect. And the idea is when you narrow those lanes, you slow people down, which you induce a friction factor with a median. And that slows people down for the bicyclists, because otherwise, if you have a 14-foot wide lane and a wide open, and people tend to go even faster. So, you know, we're always looking at this balance of what is going to slow someone down, what is other room that is necessary if something happens. And there are a lot of changes going on in the design world in terms of, and upcoming in terms of roadway design and everything else. So you try to narrow things to slow people down. That it might that might induce some other issues. You enact a law to say you need to be 3 feet from the bicyclist, but you can't always do that. Most roads, you're not going to be able, if the bicyclist wants to ride on the white line, you're not going to be able to stay 3 feet away from them. So everybody's got to work together. Everybody's got to do all the things that they're supposed to do. I'm talking about a 6-foot shift most likely for a sidewalk. I'm not talking about a large thing out here. But we definitely don't want to plan something and have it ripped out again.
Could we go back in these pictures here? I just want to show the one of this location with the tree. Go back.
On the south side?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Area.
So you see where the wall is that Caltrans put in, and you can just see a little bit of a truck.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The fire department's going to be right there. The sidewalk ends right past the Hideaway complex. What about the walkers? They're walking out into the traffic to get across the bridge to get to the other side. So I really see Jeff's point here of any of the future plantings on that corner should not be any closer than that one tree that Caltrans has already planted. So, and just for the visibility, I hate trying to make a right-hand turn. There's so much tree vegetation, I can't see more than one car, and then they're right on top of you when you pull out. So, just a concern.
Any more comments? Any more? Anybody? Okay. So, where do we go from here now? What's the next move?
We'll go back and we'll consider comments made. If there's any questions to ask of landscape architect, we'll double check things, and then this will be going out to bid in September.
Okay. Do we need to make a motion on this or let it go?
It's a receive and file.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Just trying to make sure. Okay. See, I didn't read the thing in the file. There it is. I didn't have my glasses on. Okay, my fault. Okay, number C, future agenda items. Okay, when is our next PTAC meeting?
Well, we have some available dates in October. There wasn't anything available in September, so we have the 12th, the 20th, or the 26th of October. So the 12th is a Wednesday, and so is the 26th, and the 20th is a Thursday.
Okay. Because I'd like to really try to get settled down. I know we went through dates for a whole year in advance. Andrea sent out, and the commission spent their time going over the whole thing, and then
nothing.
So. So if we got these dates, let's everybody here try to figure out what we got, and if we can stay on point, I'd appreciate it. And then we'll have at that meeting a full copy of the UMP with the latest changes, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
If I could also, Chair, Bob's just going to give you a quick, this is just an informational item. We have some trees at the community center that are going to need to come down. The arborist has deemed them diseased or dead.
Okay.
And so Bob will just run through. That way, if some people come to you because they know you're the PTAC,
yeah,
you'll,
I know.
You'll have answers.
Phone calls all the time.
Yeah. Go ahead, Bob.
Important.
Mr. Chair, members of the commission. I'll give you a brief summary of the report that we got from our arborist. We're trying to get a picture up for you so you get a better idea of what's going on, and because it's a large undertaking, and we had it broken down in sections. Oh, we blew it up. Not working.
While we're waiting for that, do you all want to look at your calendars and select a date for October?
I'd have to go home.
Okay.
I've got kids, one going to college. I got a text, and I know it's going to be somewhere in there. And then I got my daughter. But I'll make it one of those days.
For the record, go Mustangs.
Okay. I'll try and talk you through this. We're having a problem getting it up on the screen here. But we broke it down into 13 different sections, the community center and all the property around it. And the number one section is the front lawn, and we have 13 trees. 8 of those came out in good shape, 4 in fair shape, 1 in poor shape. And it appeared that none of the trees on the property are under irrigated, and all of them are drought stressed.
Yes.
The trees would benefit if they were irrigated, but they should survive even if they're not. This is all on the front lawn. The second area that they... Oh, good. We're up. Area number 2... Is this thing working now?
She's got a better pointer.
Oh, I see 2. There it is. Okay. Okay, so 1 is that front lawn area, correct?
That's area number 1.
Okay.
Area number 2 is the front lawn right between the parking lot and the building itself. Okay. They had the same comments from Area 1, but there we had 5 trees, and they were all 5 of them were in good shape. Area number 3, which is down in this corner over here, had 3 trees. 2 were good, 1 was very poor, but he suggested that no action was necessary, he being our arborist.
Well, what kind of trees were they again?
Area 3?
Yes.
What was the question?
What kind of trees?
Oh, we had... In Area 3, we had a coastal live oak and 2 Brisbane box trees. Area 4, we had 4 trees. They were all good. This is Area 4 over here. Mm-hmm. And they were all good, and they're jacarandas. And, of course, jacarandas are pretty drought tolerant, so they're doing very well. Area 5, which is the area inside the building where it was in, I have an art time, right there, inside the complex. That has 1 tree, which is the Australian willow, and that's in good shape. And he noted that the fact that the tree is significant because it happens to be the national champion Australian willow on the official registry of California big trees. So it's an impressive tree, and it's in good shape. Okay, area number 6, which is down in this area here, that area was 6 trees, 5 fair, 1 good. And the 5 fair ones were the cage put and the evergreen pear. Let's see, the observations that he made on that is that the southwest corner of the playground are producing some uncharacteristic sap flows. This was brought to our attention by the school there, and it's oozing from the lower portions of the trunk, and it's within reach of the students, so the administrator was concerned, obviously. The sap flow is not an indication that the trees are dying. In this case, it appears that they're bleeding cankers, and although he has no concern, he doesn't know if they're toxic, but he has no major concerns, but he said common sense should dictate that the children be instructed not to try and eat the sap. So hopefully the teacher will give them that information, and we certainly will share it with them. Number 7, which is the playground. Let's see, my eyes aren't so good. Back over here, behind the playground there, we have 2 trees in that area. 1 is fair, 1 is good. They're both California sycamores. The requirements of the sycamores are for water are a little heavier than most other trees. Unfortunately for these trees, the root system is mostly under asphalt, which is restricting the amount of water the trees are getting. But overall, the trees appear to be structurally sound, so no actions required on those either. Okay, area 8, which is down over here, that one we have 16 trees, and most of those are silver dollar gum trees, the eucalyptus trees. 13 were good, 1 was fair, 2 were poor. Structurally, the trees all appear to be sound. Let's see, area 9, which is right above it, that small area, whoops, my finger slipped off right there. Area 9, there's one tree in poor condition. It's a taipu tree, and it's attributed to, and most of these are attributed to, the fact that there's a lack of water. Structurally, the tree appears to be sound, so no action again. Area 10, which is back here along the basketball courts over there and tennis court, there are 4 trees, 2 in very poor condition, and 2 that require removals. All 4 trees are in very poor condition due to lack of water. The outside trees on both ends will not be able to recover from the damage that they sustained and will need to be removed. Again, that's in area 10 there. Area 11, northwest corner, which is over right next to that right there. Area 11, we have, again, 4 trees, 2 very poor, 2 removals, same situation. Area 12, which is down along here, is 6 trees, 5 are in good condition, 1 needs removal. The one that needs removal has a wound that compromises its structural integrity, so we'll have to remove that one. By the way, we've already issued notice to our tree contractor to remove these removal trees. So, in area 13, which is down along the backside here, we have 6 trees. All of them are doing good. So, to kind of sum it all up, we have 5 trees that need to be taken down. Area 10 is 1 taipu tree. Area 11 has 2 taipu trees. And area 12 has the 1 Australian willow. So that's the 5 trees that will be removed by our tree company. There you have it.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Could I add another thing to the future agendas? I'd like to see us discuss having the city email the street tree planting list to all of the planning department and the public works staff, because we're getting projects coming through that are not paying any attention to trees in the public right-of-way. Right currently, there's the Hollister Village Triangle property, which has the wrong trees, and the Heritage Ridge or Willow Springs 3, which have the wrong trees. And if they get through them, like the original Hollister Village did, and I caught it just as they approved it, they said, well, it's too late now. So we need to catch them before they go through approval. And nobody seems to be paying any attention at all to them, so I'd like to have it discussed.
I'm sorry, let me clarify. You'd like to have those projects discussed or the policy in which the tree list is being... So I believe staff has a tree list. What we'd be happy to do is check to make sure that the tree list is being used, and if we can come back with some information at the next meeting with regard to those projects to verify the trees. The Hollister Triangle project, is there public right-of-way there in the Hollister Triangle?
Yes.
Okay, we'll double-check.
South Glen Annie.
Okay, we'll double-check.
Okay. Is that it? Okay, then I guess motion to adjourn.
I motion to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. There we go.